have a story that's going to really tick you off. I think it's going to tick you off. I never know with you.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a friend that works at a hospital, one of the UCLA hospitals. Okay. Like UCLA Medical Center. There is a new edict there, and I'm not making this up. This is what she told me. There is a new edict there that in her area, which is OBGYN, when you have somebody giving birth and you're in the delivery room, you are no longer allowed to use the term mother. You can't say the mother. Let's help the mother. What do you need? Somebody come over. The mother is, you cannot use the term mother anymore at UCLA Medical Center.
Kind of makes sense.
Why?
Because what if the baby doesn't make it?
Oh, I didn't think of it like that.
And the baby could be stillborn, and then that woman is not a mother.
Right.
So just call her by her name. Help Jackie. Help the baby come out of Jackie.
Right. That's a very good point. They should use the name. I think that's what they're doing, using the name, or they're saying parent. No, not even parent.
No.
Because no, I'll tell you why. Because I thought it was because not everybody identifies as a female. So maybe the person is a they and not a her. But no, I think this is why. My friend didn't explain the whole thing, but she was like, I'll explain it later. I think it's because, especially in LA, there's a lot of surrogates. So if you're somebody that is a surrogate, you are not the mother.
Not the mama. Not the mama. Not the mama. Not the mama.
You're only the vessel giving birth to the child that's going to go to another family.
Not the mama. Mm.
And some surrogates are involved with the family, but most of them are not. Most of them, the minute they give birth, their job is done. So they are actually not the mother.
Not the mama.
So it's not necessarily about what your gender identity is and whether you identify as a female or a she or a her or a mother or whatever you identify with. While that's probably a very tiny percentage of the population.
Yeah, that's 0.000.
Yeah, my guess is, and I'll find out from her for sure, I think it's because of surrogacy and the amount of surrogacy that they see in Los Angeles. But also what you're saying, if the baby is stillborn, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to start that cognitive idea of mother and mothering and motherhood if the baby doesn't make it. And now you have to break the news to this woman that you've just spent the past 36 hours calling mother.
Right. And some people who give the baby up for adoption don't even hold the baby.
Not the mama.
The baby
right.
comes out, they take it and they run. So
there's that too. There's people that for whatever reason are not keeping their babies at all. So they don't want to be identified as mother because they're putting the baby up for adoption. So that's another. So if you think of all the percentages, you know, women putting the baby up for adoption, the surrogates, the people that don't identify, you're getting a larger percentage of women now. So, yeah, I think you're right. If I was giving birth and my baby, I don't know, I guess if I was giving birth and the baby didn't make it, I would still be its mother. I would still think.
Yeah, but you don't want to be called mother.
Right, right. It could be very painful. Well, it doesn't stop there because then she and I started talking about other things going on in Los Angeles, and you're going to hate this. So at the school that's near her, you can no longer say mom and dad. You've got to say parents. Because the conversation about what was going on at her hospital got us talking about her area where she lives.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say parents mm-hmm. because you shouldn't assume that it's a mom and a dad. It could be two dads, could be two moms. Mm-hmm. So you just say parents. And because the school that's near her has is sort of a school where they bring in kids from neighborhoods that don't have money to go to school with kids that have a lot of money. So they are no longer allowed to talk about vacations, things they have, things they've done, because they don't want to make the kids that don't take vacations and don't have money feel badly.
Okay. Here's the problem. And I had a conversation with my son about this. Everything that you learn in school is not reading, writing, and math.
Mm-hmm.
There's life lessons that you learn in school. You learn not to be a pussy. You learn not to get your ass kicked. You learn you learn how to deal with people, because the minute you go out into the real world, you're not going to be able to make it. You're just going to be in a corner and you're not going to know what soft serve ice cream is.
Right.
You know,
at your ice cream place.
When you work for an ice cream place, you're not going to know right. what soft serve is, because you have to go through certain things in high school and school that homeschool kids aren't going to get. mm-hmm. people that don't hear about somebody else's vacation don't get. That's just crazy. The world is completely out of control.
Yeah, that part I thought was kind of weird. It's like, so when kids see somebody's nanny come to pick them up in a BMW and they're taking a bus home, they don't realize it's a disparity of wealth. I think the sooner you can teach a kid that there's a disparity of wealth in this country, you should do that.
You're going to find out the minute you go get a job.
Right, right. You got to prepare your kid for how the world is going to be. But you know what's so interesting is my mom, when I was a little girl, I didn't know we were very poor, but I didn't know we were poor because she didn't want me to feel badly because I went to a school with a lot of rich kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would go to their house. I'd see their houses bigger, but I would assume it's because they had my best friend had a giant house and everybody had their own room, but there were five kids. So my assumption was, well, it's a big house because there's a big family. I never considered that my house was so tiny because we didn't have money. I assumed it was just me and my mom. She needs a room. I need a room. Like, what else do we need? You know what I mean? Like, there's a kitchen and there's our rooms. It never occurred to me that it was because we didn't have money and they did. And my mom always did her best. Like, whatever the cool clothing was that we couldn't afford, she would go buy the fabric and she'd be sitting there and she would make it for me. She would be there with her sewing machine and she would sew me whatever the cool clothing was, obviously without the labels, but still, you know, she wanted me to at least look like the rest of the kids.
No, the problem is like you just said, you didn't think about it. It wasn't
right,
until somebody put that thought in your head. It's the same thing with race. Kids do not see race. They see another kid. It's not until their parents say, don't go around that black kid or that white kid or they whatever. Kids don't see that stuff. They don't think about that. Don't put the thought in their head that we're poor and whatever. Let them figure it out on their own.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. Like my friend's parents, you know, we had like some crappy car that the doors were two different colors that my mother kept saying. Eventually, we're going to get it painted. And then my friend's parents drove a Mercedes. But I didn't know that one was an expense. I figured a car is a car. Like, we have a car. Like, that's amazing. We have a car. They have a car. We have a car. It wasn't until I got to college. That's how sheltered my mother kept me. It wasn't until I got to college that I realized that cars, like, were status symbols, that it's a really, really expensive car meant that you had a lot of money. I never made that connection all through school because where I lived, you know, see, I think there's a lot of people that move around a lot and I didn't. I lived in the same place all the time. So I saw the same people and the same cars and the same everything. Had I moved around a lot, had I been one of those kids that like every couple of years you pick up and you move and you go to a new school or whatever, maybe then I would start to see some differences and see where I fit in and maybe I didn't fit in.
But you didn't think about that until you get into high school.
But I also didn't think about it because most of my friends are my friends from childhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, my two best friends right now, I've known since I'm five. You know, like it never occurred to me like whether they came from rich families or poor families. They just have always been my friends, you know?
Yeah. So, and going back to the last story, don't call a mom until a certain point.
Yeah.
Don't call me dad until after the taping of Maury.
Right.
Maury tells me I'm the dad, then you can call me dad.
You are the father. Yeah. You want the DNA test.
Up until that point, I don't
say a word. Yeah, I understand.